Brett Musburger, and you are listening live to Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio with my main man, Tony D.
All right, let's head over to the Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, drivers will switch and save with Progressive. Save nearly $750 on average. Call or click today. Find out if we can save you hundreds on your car insurance. Travis Rogers joins us, ESPN LA, Rams pre- and post-game host, and also Hooked on Rams podcast. As LA goes out to Detroit to take on the Lions in the opening game of the playoffs, early riser. Travis, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, Tony. How are you?
Good, my man. All right, so this is one of the hottest teams going into the playoffs, because after the bye week when they were 3-6, they have won 7 of the last 8 games, including a battle of backups against San Francisco. In terms of the way they've turned it around, where does it start? Where does it end? How do they manage to go from 3-6 to a very, very hot playoff team?
Well, I think there's two main reasons. Number one is Matthew Stafford got healthy again. In the middle of the season when they were really struggling, I think his thumb was giving him a bad time. I think his hip was giving him a bad time, and he just wasn't quite what he needed to be. They were working with pretty small margins to begin with, and everything that team was going to do was based on his right arm. So when he was something less than his best, they really struggled. That's number one. Number two is Kyren Williams got healthy. You know, he started the season as the number two running back on this team behind Cam Akers. And then Cam Akers gets sent to Minnesota. All of a sudden, Kyren Williams elevates that number one spot, and he starts to kill it. But then he gets hurt against Arizona, misses the next 5 weeks, comes back again against Arizona, or against Seattle, I should say. And all of a sudden, they're clicking. They're absolutely smashing people offensively. Kyren Williams not only is playing well, he's one of the best running backs in football. He finishes the season number two behind Christian McCaffrey in rushing yards. So those two reasons are what let the offense really start to go. Puka was good all season long. Cooper Kupp was probably a little bit below the line by Cooper Kupp standards most of the season. But once Kyren Williams started to give the Rams a legitimate threat on the ground, that offense started to look unbelievable, and they've been taking care of business ever since.
Hey, even at 3-6 in a league where if you can just get it 9-8, you got a chance to get into the playoffs. Was there a feeling in the bye week that there was health that needed to happen to get better, or was it a feeling like the chips have really been cashed in on this?
Well, no, but so it's a great question, because coming out of the bye, they're playing Seattle, and they beat Seattle, and quite frankly, they got a little lucky. Geno Smith missed a couple of series. He got hurt, and Drew Lock came in and looked like you know what. He threw an interception. He looked completely lost. And the Rams kind of snatched a win at the last second that I don't know that anybody thought that they were going to get. And the talk of the town, or at least on my show and the people that I talked to, was, hey, was that a good idea? You know, that might be your fourth win, but you may only finish with 4 or 5. We got to be careful about what we're doing with the draft pick here. Well, they only lost one game after that, in overtime to Baltimore, who might be the best team in the league. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think it was one of those, all right, they won the game, but, that might not be in their best interest long term. Well, they just absolutely took off after that, and turns out Sean McVay know more about it than I do.
Sean McVay, I want to get to him for a second, because it always feels like when they talk about McVay on the national broadcast, there's always the he toyed with broadcasting of getting out of this after the Super Bowl. How much truth was behind that, and how much dedication was he to turn this around, which he did?
Well, in my opinion, Tony, I never thought Sean McVay was going to go to broadcasting, simply because the one thing that I know about Sean McVay that I'm 100% positive about is that he's competitive. There's no competitive thing in calling a Thursday night game between New Orleans and Atlanta. Right. You don't get any juice out of that, right? You go in, you call a game, you go home, and you get ready to do the next one. Sean McVay likes to keep score. He likes to win. He likes to stack things. And that's why I was never really worried about TV. Now, I was a little worried about him just saying, hey, man, I need a break from this. I've been going 1,000 miles an hour for as long as I've been in this. I hit this thing exactly right. I won a Super Bowl, et cetera, et cetera. I thought maybe he'd take a break, go charge his batteries, and then maybe come back and, whether that was to the Rams or somewhere else. I was worried about that. At the end of last season, he was kind of on the fence, and I thought it was more likely than not that he would leave. Not necessarily go to TV, but just not coach for a period of time. And then, he made up his mind in just a couple of weeks, maybe less than a couple of weeks, And he announced that he was coming back to the Rams. And at that point, it's like, no, this guy's a football coach. He's not going anywhere other than on the sidelines to coach a football team and try to win football games. And I think this year really re-energized him. It was kind of a recalibration of his priorities. This was the first time since his first year in L.A. that coming into a season, there really weren't expectations. The Rams were not expected to be a playoff team, to be a team that was going to go win a bunch of games and try to compete for a Super Bowl. And I think that kind of gave him new life, and they came in, and here we are. They won 10 games despite me thinking they might win 4 or 5, and not only they win 10, they got a chance to win on Sunday.
Yeah, they sure do. They sure do. And you weren't alone in that because, again, when we talked to you in the Rams preview, there was, you know, the natural idea of you give up these assets, you get Matt Stafford, you get a bunch of players to help you win today, but the future is at a cost. But now that 10-7, but how much of that, Travis, is still in the future for the Rams? How much are they still hampered in the future about some of the things that they had to do to win that Super Bowl 2 years ago?
I think that's the most exciting part about this. Almost not at all.
Oh, that's great.
That last year and this year were the 2 years that you're going to kind of have to, the analogy that I've used, you got to pay that Visa bill, right? You went
right
on the vacation of your lifetime, and you spent all the money and said, you know, forget it, I'll pay it later. Well, last year and this year were the years you have to pay it. They drafted 14 guys, none of them in the first round. 14 guys made the team. 5 of those 14 guys that they drafted are now starting players on this team, including Puka Nacua, Byron Young, Kobe Turner, guy, high-end starter, Steve Avila, their left guard, who, you know, started 17 games for them this season. They've got about, between how you look at this, between 50 and 75 million in cap space to use next season. They have a first-round draft pick for the first time since Jared Goff back in 2016. They are fully loaded again to go do it again. The difference is, they're really young, really good, really inexpensive right now. That other than Kupp, Stafford, and Donald, they don't have big tickets on their salary cap sheet. They're going to have a ton of flexibility, a ton of money to spend, and they're good and they're young, and it's going to open up that window wide open again starting. I thought it would start next year. It started this year.
When did they know that Nacua was going to be who he is? I mean, you don't set a rookie record by accident here. There's some real talent that got overlooked by a lot of people. When did they know they had a special player in him?
Well, I think I think Sean McVay knew right away. So there's been 3 guys that Sean McVay has kind of raved about from the moment they drafted him, going to camp to the start of the season. It was Cooper Kupp, it was Kyren Williams, and it was Puka Nacua, where he says things like, "These are special guys. These guys are going to have a huge impact on this team." Don't forget about, like, last year when they drafted Kyren Williams in the 5th round, he kept saying, don't forget about Kyren Williams. He's going to be a huge part of what we do. Well, he was hurt almost all of last year. We never really got to see it. But those are the 3 guys that he said from day one, special player, special guy, gets it. And he's been right. So he knew right away. I think for your average Rams fan, I think it was opening day when he went out there against the Seahawks in week 1 and just absolutely killed us. Like, wait a second, this guy with the unusual name and a 5th-round pick, BYU, like, really? This guy's that good? And he never really slowed down, so I think we all kind of got on board in that week 1.
No doubt. On your personal thought on Jared Goff, who they'll play up against, are you surprised that Goff has now emerged as not only the starter for Detroit? It looked like he was going to just fill a spot until they found their guy, and now he's got a team that could go to the Super Bowl.
A little bit. Having gotten to see him in L.A. for the 4 or 5 years that he was here, he got better year to year. But I did think that there was a ceiling on him. I still think there may be. I'm really anxious to see what it looks like on Sunday night because he's good. He's gotten better. I mean, he took the Rams to a Super Bowl. I think people kind of gloss over that now.
Right.
He was really bad in that Super Bowl, but he was there. And part of the reason they were there is because he played really well. Jared Goff has bad moments at the worst possible time, whether it's an interception, a fumble, a bad sack, he holds the ball too long. I'm really curious to see what it looks like because Sean McVay is kind of like that older brother or ex-girlfriend or whatever. They know how to get you off of your game as quickly as possible, and I think that's what he's going to go do to him. But Goff's a different guy. I mean, he's been there 3 years in Detroit. He's put his team in an incredibly advantageous position. So I'm anxious to see it, but if I'm betting on McVay or Goff, I'm going to take McVay.
Travis Rogers, good stuff. Always good talking to you, my friend. Thanks for getting up early with us for us out in L.A.
My pleasure.
Travis Rogers, ESPN LA, Rams pre- and post-game host, also Hooked on Rams podcast. So Rams taking on Detroit coming up this weekend on Sunday, Sunday night game, as the Rams at 10-7. I mean, they won six of their final seven games after a 3-6 start. We'll continue with Wake Up Call.